The next question, we're going to start with Usha, and then we'll go to Aaron. And this question is about housing. What commitments will you make to ensure Manhattan has safe, quality, and affordable housing? Please offer a specific example.
Sure, thank you. Currently, the information is always changing, but we have about 60 to 63% renters, and then we have the other homeowners. So we have a demographic that's shifting also in Kansas State with our students going up and down at Kansas State University. So that's always an anomaly that has a huge factor in our economy. But we just have a steering committee for the housing study, and they are working with a consultant from Wichita who is going to give us steps to move forward, whether it's building a housing trust fund where we have money already there so we can utilize it for developers and other organizations to put into certain infrastructure for housing. We have the sales tax that just passed last year. And in 2023, there will be about 10%, which is about $6 million going towards housing. And that's specific to housing, workforce housing. But there's lots of other issues such as affordability, suitability. We have a lot of seniors that need different types of housing. We have a lot of students that need different types of housing. We're working with the MDO to figure out certain accessory dwellings and such. So this is a work in progress. We have a steering committee, I believe, of 20 people helping us with this process. And we have a lot of key stakeholders at the table. So I'm looking forward to what their recommendations are and hopefully implementing those recommendations as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Usha. Aaron? And after Aaron, we'll go to Wynn.
Thank you. So housing is a top priority for me. And Manhattan and the people that I've been working with are attacking the problem from so many directions that I can't be more excited to be part of it. I mean, in this moment in time. My interest in housing goes back to working with homeless veterans, and the lessons I learned in that 3-year span are helping me shape what pieces to the solution are missing locally and how we need to shore those up now to prevent more issues later. As a city commissioner, I look at the housing challenge more from a workforce housing standpoint, and that our current housing stock in Manhattan is mismatched or not aligned with the likely workforce of today and in the future. The housing in large swaths of Manhattan was once suitable, but then slowly as kind of sort of Frankensteined to meet the needs that we had during periods of record enrollment at K-State. Those days of record enrollment for now have passed, and we're moving in the right direction locally by dedicating that 10% of the renewed 2023 sales tax to workforce housing initiatives. I think as your commissioners, we can use those levers of government power to incentivize and stimulate the transformation of our housing stock so that it is more aligned for prospective employers, young professionals looking to reside here for generations ahead.
Thank you, Aaron. Wynn, and after Wynn, it'll be Caleb.
Yeah, affordable housing is really marketplace driven. And that's the first thing everybody has to understand. It's the marketplace. And some of it is, you know, BHH basic allowance for housing rates from the military are quite high. A private gets $1,000. That impacts our amount of what people are charged for rents here in the city. I'm particularly enthused, though, about what we did with the Economic Development Recovery and Relief Sales Tax. That 10% should be used to incentivize employees to purchase and upgrade older residents. And the key here is understanding the difference and definition of what is workforce housing. Workforce housing is defined as those households earning between 60 and 120% of area median income. So workforce housing targets middle income workers, not low income workers. And we're talking about folks like firemen, policemen, healthcare workers, teachers. And that's one of the things that's frustrating when you look at the amount of city staff that live outside the city. So we've got to take that workforce housing initiative and cause it to change the ability of the medium income workers, especially our fire, police, and city workers, to be able to afford and use, buy homes in the city. And there's a number of programs that we can initiate to make that happen.
Thank you, Wynn. Caleb, and after Caleb will be Rich.
Well, the first thing I would do is I'd never vote to raise taxes. When you vote to raise property taxes, those costs are immediately passed on to the consumer. So when you're talking about affordable housing, when you're talking about property taxes increasing and people doing assessments and saying, can I afford to live in this city? If taxes are high and they're increased every year for the last 10 years, the answer for more and more people is going to be no. When it takes a global pandemic just for you to keep the mill levy flat, you're not inviting people in here who can, or businesses in here who can pay the salaries that people can afford to live here. The 10% sales of the sales tax to workforce housing initiatives is great, but the operative word is workforce. And we need to make sure that we are making an environment that is conducive to businesses thriving that can pay salaries so people can afford to live here. Thank you.
Thank you, Caleb. Rich, and then Marcus.
Hey, thank you. One of the critical things is I believe we're going to have quite a number of properties that may find their way into a pool of probable, I'm just going to say it out front, foreclosed properties. There's or several that are going to need to be sold because there's a lack of revenue. We've seen a migration from to better types of housing as more and more newer housing has come on board. And housing is not only single family, but multifamily. We have a lot of properties around the campus, I believe, that have opportunities to be redeveloped back into single family dwellings. And I believe a couple people have talked about that. That 10% of our citywide sales tax that kicks in is a great opportunity for that. But whether we're able to get the cost into that, I think is going to be difficult. I also think that the other part of it is the understanding of what affordable means. And I believe Wynn is right, and I would agree with that wholly. It is market driven. Our basic housing allowance from Fort Riley is a driver, but so is the demand from the student population and the parents. And those things drive costs up. And so if we can find cheaper land and develop that in a way that doesn't add the extra burden of cost layered over layer, I believe that also will drive some of those costs down and bring us back to a much more conducive area for a workforce that's in what you would call the middle class. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Marcus, and then John.
All right. So what a good question. So in relation to the safety and quality of housing, I think that's something that can be done more on the front end when working with landlords and the places that they do have available for rent for people to occupy. And that's where the affordable part, that's the bottom line. That's the like the first thing that everyone really looks at, how much is it going to cost me in the long run? And so As I think about that, my commitments to that, again, like I said, the safety and quality part can definitely come on the front end, building in those requirements that those living places have to meet a certain threshold with different metrics for both safety and quality. I think that's something easy that could be introduced and modified over time if need be. And then for that, for the affordable part, I think that there's a lot of different creative solutions that we can do, right? So I think that one example could be having like a profile of the individual living in that certain space. If they work for the city, then that could mean a certain pricing model for rent that they follow. Or if they're a student, that could be a certain pricing model. Because again, when the market is set up in an area where you can't succeed even by living there, then of course, as others have said, that's gonna be what drives people to not want to live here. So those are some of the things that I can think of that are just some creative solutions for this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus. John, and then Monica.
Okay, try to fit this all in. First, on the safe, and I've never been for rental inspections. I know that's been brought up. I'm not for that, but I am for making sure that everyone knows, make a new renter's packet, something the school can give out, the city can give out, that a renter can always request an inspection from the city if they do think they have a problem. So get that out there. The other thing that's been touched on is there has really been a change in the marketplace out there. A lot of the kids that used to go into those houses to share with a half dozen, eight people, now we're going for the 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. We've had a lot of apartments been built. In fact, we're overbuilt with the apartments. Rich brought it up. We've got this situation going on with the older neighborhoods. And there's a really chance for us to get those into, you know, some real families and stuff living in there. I sold 2 rental houses this past year. They sold like that, both owner occupied now. that are living in those neighborhoods. As we do that, there's some state and federal programs we can tap into to help with that. There's also the American Rescue Plan Act that we've got 12.7 million. They talk about, you know, sewer and stormwater and everything else. And a lot of those older neighborhoods, there's a lot of repairs and stuff's gonna have to do. There's still a lot of clay pipes and things like that that are gonna need to be fixed up. We need it from the city standpoint of infrastructure. We need to see if we can also help some of those homeowners, because there's some huge costs when you get into those old pops and pipes and you're doing remodeling and everything else in those older neighborhoods. So there's a big opportunity there.
Thank you, John. And finally, Monica.
Thank you. One of the very first things that I mentioned when I filed to run for city commission was that I was for having housing inspections, and I am still very much for having housing inspections. I moved here, as I said, as part of my husband's military stationing. And when we moved here in town, we came in November and we had to find housing within 10 days. It's really difficult to do that in Manhattan when you're coming in Thanksgiving week and you need something to find something by December 1st. And that's not the time that the semester is finishing. But having lived as a renter in this town and also as a homeowner in this town, I feel that there are certain things that we are not taking care of our renters. And as Yusha had mentioned, over 60% of our city is renters. I believe that renting a property is very much like running a business. It should be inspected. It should be done for the key safety issues. I would propose a rental inspection program very much like they have in Lawrence. I believe that that takes care of those key safety issues, but also make sure that it's not terribly invasive. It also gives incentives to landlords when they have met those criteria that they don't have to have it done annually. They can have a grace period unless there's a complaint by a tenant. But I believe that that's one of the first things that we need to look at. As for the affordable, yes, it is a market-driven business. As Yusha had also mentioned, you know, we have a steering committee that is coming up with ideas on that right now. So I would try and leave that to them to come up with some of those for us.
Thank you, Monica.